Howdy all, this is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. Today I'm going to have a chat about some new stuff that I've seen that's coming out. And first things first, the Music Man amplifiers are back. They've re-released them. It's a fantastic series of amplifiers. If you're not familiar with them, definitely check out Chris Kane. He plays a RD50. And man, I mean, the guy's a phenomenal player and singer, but his tone's also awesome. It's a half solid state, half tube amplifier, and it's 50 watts. And these new ones are actually made in conjunction with DV Mark, which are also known as Mark Bass. They're an Italian company. They make really lightweight amps for bass players and guitar players. They're actually quite good. So I think the major difference with this reissue series is the fact that the speaker is a neodymium speaker to make the amp a lot lighter. That's one criticism that Music Man amps have had over the years, is they're really, really heavy. My friend's got a 210 original Music Man amp, and the thing weighs about as much as my Super Reverb. It's unbelievably heavy. So, yeah, I'm actually glad they're doing that. I think that's great. So here's a little bit off their website. It says, "Back to the future. After more than three decades, Ernie Ball Music Man is proud to announce the reintroduction of HD and RD series of Music Man guitar amplifiers. These new Music Man amplifiers are faithful recreations of popular coveted vintage Music Man models from the golden era of amplifier design." It continues with, "The new line is carefully designed in Italy by one of the world's leading amplifier designers, Marco De Virgilius, who is a great amp builder. If you've seen the Mark Bass stuff, the DV Mark amps, they're fantastic. Bass players all over the place are using Mark Bass because they're super light and they sound good and they're loud and they're full sounding, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, you can't go wrong. So I'm really looking forward to checking these out. Shop up the road, or not up the road, about 40 minutes up the road, has them. And I saw an Instagram picture of them, and I was like, oh man, I gotta check this out. So I'm gonna go up tomorrow, see if I can do a demo of it. Also, let me know if you're a huge fan of Music Man amps like I am, and if you're not, definitely check them out, because I think that they're absolutely killer, and I'm dying to check these out. So stay tuned. I'll try and get a demo shot up there as well. I'm gonna give them a call today and
now
see
the Michael
what I can
Landau
do.
Hot Rod DeVille 212 is now officially out. And it's getting some pretty favorable reviews, basically because the DeVille clean channel sounds phenomenal. This 212 combo, though, is a little bit different. It has two clean channels. So instead of having the drive channel that a lot of people don't use, there's basically two clean channels that you can foot switch between them to get a bit of a louder clean channel, or, you know, you can set the volumes however you like, which is pretty cool. So this amplifier basically has two Celestion speakers in there instead of the Fender Eminence. So most of the tone would be coming from that. I wouldn't be surprised if you could just simply run a clean channel with a volume boost pedal on a regular DeVille and swap the speakers out and save a few bucks. So the speakers are the 75 watt Celestion G12 speakers, which sound really cool. So, you know, you could easily mod, I'm guessing, a normal DeVille to get that kind of bass clean tone, but you won't have access to, obviously, a second clean channel. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to giving these a go. I'm not like super amped about it, but I really wonder if it's going to blow away a regular DeVille. I guess that's my question. If anyone out there has tried it, please let me know and what your thoughts are of it. Now, I did see a video of Michael Landau playing that particular amplifier on a video, but it was also chained in with a Super Reverb. So, you know, tone was going to be great either way, either from a DeVille or a Super Reverb or a combination of both. So, yeah, looks interesting. It's $2,000 in Australia, which I guess, you know, it's a regular DeVille, to put it in context, I could pick one up for about $1,600. Maybe less, actually, now. I'm not too sure. But, yeah, it'd be somewhere around there. So my guess is you're paying more for the Celestion speakers than anything else, because two clean channels, do you need it? That's another question to think about as well. So let me know what you think, and if you're watching on YouTube, leave all your comments below. Interesting stuff. Out of all the combos I've used over the years, the Supersonic 60 is absolutely one of the best. It's probably the most plug-and-play amp I ever had. was just sort of awkwardly heavy, and it was just bulky. It was a big amp in a small car. You know, I do have a larger amp than that now in terms of height, but it's still, I think, lighter than the Supersonic 60. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that sounds absolutely cool. But the thing that I wanted to have a chat about is I feel like now they may have discontinued them. So I've had a look around online. I'm seeing less and less of them in shops as well. So I take it the Supersonic 60 series didn't do as well as the 22. I haven't seen any of those hundreds around either for so long. So they've obviously been gone, at least here in Australia. But I wondered if anyone overseas in the US or Europe or wherever could give me some insight into whether or not they've been, you know, deshelved from shops over there too, because the 60s just aren't anywhere here now. And they're not even listed on the Fender Australia website, but I don't take that as gospel either, because the Fender Australia website, I wish it would just take me through to the US one all the time, but it doesn't work like that. It really sucks. They must GOIP people searching for Fender stuff in Australia. It takes us through to a different website. We can bypass that, but it's just a pain in the ass. But anyway, yeah, let me know what you think. And I think it's a huge shame. I think the Supersonic 60 is just an absolute beast. I think it's a, you know, the 22 is a great amp. It just doesn't have anything on the 60. The 60 is just bigger and fatter and rounder, everything. It's just such a full, thick sound. I really dug it. And yeah, it's one of those amps. I, you know, if my back was better at the time, I would have kept it. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So let me know if you know anything more than me about the Supersonic 60, because I think it's one of those amps that Fender should keep doing. It's just, it's a real shame. The In the Blues forum is continually growing, which has been awesome. So I thank everyone who's involved in keeping that community going over there as well. We've had 311 people join now, which is really cool. And there's 3,000 topics, so there's lots going on. I keep adding things as people suggest different categories and all that kind of thing as well. So I've recently added a gear player profile section, so you can, you know, tell everyone what you use and you can have a chat about gear and all that kind of stuff as well. So there's lots going on over there. I've also got the official thread of Mustang Mondays over there too. So instead of searching through YouTube, if you want, you can just head straight over to intheblues.net and go down to the solid state and modeling amplifier section. And then simply right at the top of that thread, I've got it stickied, the official Mustang Monday video thread. So you can check that out. And one thing that's pretty funny, I got to say too, is there's been a lot of guys copying my patches and putting them back up on Fuse unedited. I don't understand why people do that, but anyway, all good. That's what it's all about. Everyone can share patches around and all that kind of thing. But it was brought to my attention that, yeah, people were doing that. But the cool thing is all the links to my YouTube channel, all that are in there. So go nuts if you want to re-upload them and modify them. I don't really care. So it's one of those things, you can feel free to do that as you please. Mustang Monday is still going. It's going strong for the next few weeks. And if you're a 335 fan, you're definitely going to love the next few. I'm not sure if I'll do any more after this. I'm kind of coming to the end. There are lots of requests for different players, but I don't know. I'm kind of better finding the tones of the guys that I like. I know that sounds kind of boring maybe, but I know in my head what I'm trying to do. If I'm given someone else's sound that I'm not too familiar with, it's hard, a lot harder for me to try to emulate that, because I'm not sort of familiar with how to get that sound, I guess, is the biggest thing. But yeah, I've tried my best to give everybody loads of these patches, and maybe my last video for Mustang Monday will be how I actually go about getting these sounds and the process behind it, because that would be fun. Then everyone can sort of take the approach that I have to getting these sounds as well. A lot of the time I do use another amplifier right next to the Mustang, or other times I use you know, a recording that I've got. You know, I've got my studio monitors right here as well, so I play back through that and I get the try to get the best sound I can. But yeah, it's been a good positive thing, the Mustang Monday, and I'm going to try to come up with something else that will appeal to other people as well. So yeah, Mustangs still going strong. I've got my Swamp Thing in the back of mine right now, and Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I got to say, though, I did put the stock speaker back in there for a while, and I did that when I did all the Mustang Mondays. I've got a few queued up as well that are already finished. And the stock speaker sounds great. The only advantage to the Swamp Thing is it's just that little bit fatter and rounder sounding. It might not be what you want, though. So take that into consideration. If it you don't need to swap the speakers out. The stock speaker is really cool. And once you use it a fair bit, it sounds even better. And apologies for my throat and all that today. I'm actually a little bit under the weather. But if you do have any suggestions for future Mustang Mondays, feel free to let me know. I'm just not 100% sure right now when I'll do more. It's only when the inspiration hits. So if I'm a little bit quiet on gear demos, I'll generally try something else. So it's caught up with a lot of my demos right now. And yeah, the Mustangs. I wonder, actually, sort of off topic, I wonder if it's almost time for another Mustang to be coming out. I heard rumors a while back that there's going to be a version 3 coming out, so that should be interesting. I'm keen to sort of see what they do with that and how they make it different. And on the subject, I was watching a Hartley Peavey interview recently where he was talking about a new amp that sort of sounds like the Kemper profiling amplifier, but at a reasonable price. I think it's going to be, you know, probably in Australian dollars at least, maybe $600 or $700, maybe somewhere around a PV Bandit's price, like a new PV Bandit, not an old, like not a used one. I know in the US, PV Bandit's like $250, and you can buy them like second hand for about $60. But yeah, this is, you know, where I live, it gets expensive. But I heard he basically said that these amps will be able to replicate anything. He didn't really go into details, but he said it's not like conventional modeling technology like what's out now. So my guess is that if you take this amp or whatever you could record or maybe download other people's patches, much the same as how the Mustang 3 works, but they might actually be referenced off other different amplifiers. I'm not really too sure. Or maybe you can customize it your own. Maybe you can mic up someone else's amp, record the tones straight into the amp, and it does a very similar thing like the Kemper does. Who knows? But it should be interesting. And it'll be one of those things where, you know, it might be good to have an alternative to the Mustang out there. Might do something else extremely well. But yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out as well. I don't even know what they're called, but I have heard them, Hartley Peavey, talking about that on YouTube. So it should be interesting. So let me know which modeling amp you use right now, or solid state amp. There's quite a few good ones going around right now. There's the Mustangs, there's a couple of PVs, solid state amps as well. You know, you can't go wrong with a PV Bandit. You can also, the Roland Blues Cube is another one that's doing the rounds. I actually tried one of those out. I thought it sounded good. I wasn't overly blown away by it, to be honest. I think it, for the price too, it's maybe way too expensive for what you're buying. I don't think it's as loud as a Mustang 3 either. And those AB tests that they did on another channel on YouTube against the Mustang and the Blues Cube, they obviously didn't have any idea how to set up the Mustang. They must have used some stock crap preset that comes with it. Because honestly, if I took my Mustang 3 and put it next to a Blues Cube, I reckon it'd blow it out of the water. But that's just me. The Blues Cubes look extremely cool, though. So I wonder whether or not Fender might tweetify their Mustang 3 amps on the next series. That would be pretty cool. I've got another amplifier that I'm going to start using on the demos. This was sent to me a little while back from Movol or Movel from China. It's actually a tube amp, and it's got two 12AX7 tubes and one EL84 tube in there as well. And man, it sounds ripper. It's based on a Marshall JTM something. I can't remember the model, but it's really sweet. It's only 4 or 5 watts. It's got a clean channel, and it's also got a dirty channel, and it, man, it just really sings through the cabinet that I use to record all my demos on. So you'll be hearing more of that. I'll do a demo and introduce it before I start actually filming gear demos with it. It just has that, it has a bit of a bigger and warmer sound, and it's actually quite loud for 4 or 5 watts. It's one of those amps that you don't expect to be as loud as it is, and then man, it can actually throw some wind. So yeah, it's going to be featured on the channel over the course of however long until I get sick of it or start using something else. The other reason is 4 or 5 watt amps are great with pedals. They sound absolutely sweet. And it also keeps the noise down a little bit as well, because when you're putting a 40 watt amp into an isolation cabinet, even, you still get a lot of ambient noise. 4 or 5 watt amps don't have any noise. It really makes my recording situation much more pleasurable, and it makes editing a lot easier too, because there's not a lot of spill on the mics, which is another thing. The editing process can be a huge pain. So the amplifier is called a Movol Crunchbox, so definitely check it out. It sounds extremely good. It looks super cool too. It's one of those little it's not twee, but it's got a Tolex that looks pretty vintage and sweet on there. It's kind of like gray and black. It's kind of snakeskin kind of look to it. It's pretty sweet, and it sounds really awesome. So it did have a problem. I had to I guess shipping things overseas, one of the internal valves had a crack in it, so I replaced that. It's just one of those transportation things. So anyway, it's fixed and it sounds awesome. So expect a demo of this coming up really, really soon. So just the other day, I filmed maybe 7 different lick lessons, which includes intro licks and stuff you can add to an intro lick after you play that, counting the song, all that kind of stuff. So just some basic licks. I'll do some more advanced ones, or as advanced as I play, at a later date. But this is sort of like a testing ground for what's going to come. And if it goes over well, I'll keep doing it. If it doesn't and people don't like it or the way that I explain things, then I won't do it anymore. It's totally fine. I may, though, put together a video that will be a paid thing on my intheblues.com.au website. So if you are digging the lessons and you want a full 30 or 40 minute, you know, lick library video, then that's what that will be. That'll be for the people that really dig it. The free lessons will go up on YouTube, and they'll be, yeah, as you know, it's as I would explain it to somebody. I'm not, you know, a technical wizard when it comes to guitar, but you know, I try to explain things as simply as what I would like it to be shown to me, I guess. So, like I said, I'm new to teaching, especially on camera. It's very easy to stumble when you're trying to explain things on camera. But, yeah, when you're not familiar with it, at least, anyway. So, yeah, teaching's a whole new thing, and I hope some of these lessons are good. I know they won't appeal to everybody because everybody's at a different place with their playing, but for those who are, you know, in the earlier stages of their playing experience, then I think you're going to enjoy them. And as they go, they get progressively harder, but it also incorporates like bends and hammer-ons and you know, playing vibrato, I think, properly in quotation marks, rather than just, you know, jiggling your hand around like a spastic. So, and I shouldn't have probably said that, but yeah, you know what I mean. It's just, there's some guys that play terrible vibrato out there. They just have no idea about finesse, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So yeah, it should be interesting. And if the, like I said, if these lessons go over okay, I'll start doing some more. It's not something that overly excites me, to be honest, but it's something that I can add to the channel, hopefully build on the channel as well. And if you do know other players that are learning blues, then please send them the videos as well. They're all going to be free. So I absolutely appreciate all the support with that as well. And good feedback is, or honest feedback is good feedback. So please let me know if you think these are too basic or not hard enough or whatever. Please let me know as well. Over the years, I've bought 3 pedal trains. I bought a PT2, a Pedal Train Junior, and one of the smaller Pedal Train Nanos, I think it is. Anyway, I've got 2 of them still today, the smaller one and the middle-sized one. The PT2 I sold a while back because it was just not what I needed at the time. I wanted to downsize slightly. But the great thing is the In The Blues Tone Shop now has big Pedal Train PT2 style pedal boards for under half of the price of a pedal train. So if you're looking for a big pedal board, definitely check them out. It comes with Velcro, a gig bag. It's exactly the same type of construction. It's all welded on the joints. It's made out of metal. The gig bag looks very, very familiar as well. So definitely check these out. I don't often plug stuff on the podcast, but these have been selling really well. And I have quite a number of them here now from the new order of stuff because, yeah, they've just been flying out the door. So if you are looking for a pedal board and you're located in Australia, definitely check them out at intheblues.com.au. They're either under accessories or under the Kalen banner as well. There's some other new stuff going up on the website as well, including John Cav audio pedals, which I'm excited to have on there. I've got a whole lot of new Kalen products as well, which will include cables. And I'm getting some power supplies sent to me as well, finally. So I'm going to have a whole lot of new things coming in. The Movol stuff that I'm sold out of will be back on the site very, very soon as well. And the 3-in-1 pedals, the pre-orders have also sold out, which has been fantastic. So thanks to everybody who's put an order in for those. I'm going to have more of them on the way in the near future because I think those 3-in-1 pedals are some of the best I've ever used. And I think the demo basically speaks for itself. And yeah, for those who are interested, that 3-in-1 pedal, the red one in particular, I took over to my friend's place and we tried it against his Jekyll and Hyde pedal. And the Jekyll and Hyde pedal wasn't any better than the Movol or vice versa. They were very, very similar. So if you like the tone of the Jekyll and Hyde, definitely check out the Rock Highway pedal. It's a absolute ball terror. Thanks for listening. My name's Shane. This has been the In the Blues Tone podcast. I absolutely appreciate everybody who supports the podcast, my intheblues.com.au shop, as well as the YouTube channels and forums at intheblues.net. If you have any questions or you want to reach out to me, you can hit me up at intheblues@outlook.com. So yeah, nice easy email address to get in contact with me. And yeah, absolutely head over to the In the Blues forum as well. It's growing every day. There's lots of good conversations going on over there. Lots of great guitar porn pictures as well. So yeah, it's a really cool forum. It's a great community. No one on there has been bashing anybody verbally, which is pretty rare on a forum. So it goes to show that the community is one of the best out there. So thanks again, and I'll catch you all soon. See ya.